This is Bloomberg, the first word for this Tuesday, May 24, 2016. Coming up this hour.
Markets diverge. Asian stocks close lower as U.S. equity futures and European markets leg higher.
Federal Reserve policymakers continue to weigh in on a June rate increase, mostly striking a hawkish tone.
The fallout surrounding the embattled Malaysian state fund 1MDB widens as Singapore shuts down Swiss bank BSI.
President Obama is making a push for human rights during his visit to Vietnam. Plus, long airport security lines have prompted some changes at the TSA. I'm Michael Barr. More straight ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Mets won in Washington and moved within a half game at first. Toronto Raptors again beat Cleveland and tied their playoff series. NHL San Jose won at St. Louis to grab the series lead.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg, the first word. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 991 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1200 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on Bloomberg.com and via the Radio Plus mobile app.
It is 5 o'clock on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm John Tucker.
I'm Bob Moon. Bloomberg, the first word is brought to you by Pershing's Insight 2016, the must-attend event for advisors. Less than 2 weeks away, June 7th through the 9th. If you haven't registered, you still can. Visit insight2016.com. That's I-N-S-I-T-E 2016.com.
And a data check from the Bloomberg this morning ahead of the market open on Wall Street. We have S&P futures right now 3 points higher. That's up 0.2%. The Dow futures up 32. That's up 0.2%. The Nasdaq E-mini futures right now 8 points higher. That's up 0.2%. The euro 111.81. The yen at 109.54. British pound sterling 145.38. And the Swiss franc at 0.99 right now. The 2-year yield in the U.S., the Treasury, it is at 0.48%. The 10-year yield right now, that is at 1.8%. The 2-year yield, 0.90%, I should say. FTSE 100 in London, that's up 0.5%. The CAC in Paris, up 0.9%. And the German DAX right now is up 0.5%. Just getting data out of Germany. The German ZEW index, investor expectations, 6.4%. The median estimate was 12. So the investor expectations index up at 6.4. Again, the median estimate called for a reading of 12 this morning. And NYMEX crude, that is down 25 cents a barrel at 47.83.
Various Fed policymakers have waded into the debate over a rate hike ahead of the much-watched June meeting of the Federal Open Market Committee. St. Louis Fed President and FOMC voting member James Bullard, speaking at the official Monetary and Financial Institution Forum in Beijing, said that strong data is bolstering the case for a rate increase.
U.S. labor markets look very strong, and so this is a definite factor in favor of the FOMC's view that you would have a gradual normalization of the U.S. interest rates.
Philadelphia Fed President Patrick Harker, speaking yesterday, went so far as to predict that monetary policy will soon be overly accommodative.
That will set in motion the possibility of another risk, which is accelerating inflation and the need for aggressive policy actions.
San Francisco Fed President John Williams, speaking at the Council on Foreign Relations, struck a slightly more cautious tone.
Our basic strategy is the right one, and that's slowly or gradually removing accommodation, meaning raising interest rates over the next few years.
While Fed rhetoric takes a hawkish turn, markets have yet to fully sign on. The probability of a June rate hike, according to the Fed funds futures market, is hovering near 30%.
Deutsche Bank's credit rating has been cut by Moody's Investor Service. Moody's says the German lender faces mounting challenges in carrying out its turnaround. Chief Executive Officer John Cryan laid out his strategy to overhaul Deutsche Bank in October. Since then, his plan has run into an industry-wide slump in trading and investment banking, along with declining interest rates in Europe and Asia.
UniCredit's Chief Executive Officer Federico Ghisone may resign as soon as today. A person familiar with the matter says the bank's board is meeting in Milan and may authorize its nominating committee to begin the search for a new CEO. UniCredit remains among Europe's least capitalized lenders. Its shares have declined 76% since Ghisone took over in September 2010, including a 41% drop this year.
Well, here in the U.S., Tudor Investment Corporation trimming some fees for clients in its biggest fund amid losses this year. Details of this report from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellet.
Tudor is the $11.6 billion hedge fund that charges among the highest fees in the industry. It is run by billionaire Paul Tudor Jones, and it is also one of the oldest hedge funds. It says it will reduce fees for a share class that contains most of the main fund's money to 2.25% of assets and 25% of profits. That's according to a letter sent to clients and obtained by Bloomberg. The fees have been 2.75% and 27%. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Radio.
Thanks, Charlie. To Asia now, where markets close lower in trading today. We get the latest from Bloomberg's Juliet Sully in our Hong Kong bureau.
Investors across Asia appear to be awaiting the Fed's next move too. The regional benchmark index snapped a two-day winning streak to sink to a seven-week low Tuesday, all 10 industry groups finishing in the red. Export stocks weighed in Japan with the yen strengthening, while Shanghai stocks closed in the red for the first time in 3 days. This was amid slumping turnover. We did see the yuan, though, gain slightly, Australia's dollar, though, falling. This after RBA outgoing Governor Glenn Stevens defended Australia's inflation target. The Kiwi and Malaysian ringgit weakened too. This is amid the retreat in crude oil prices we saw during the Asian session. Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Radio, Hong Kong.
Thanks, Juliet. Singapore is ordering Swiss financial services firm BSI to shut its unit in the city-state as Swiss authorities begin criminal proceedings against the bank. The firm's CEO has resigned and says it is fully cooperating with investigators. This is the biggest fallout yet from probes related to troubled Malaysian state fund I1MDB, which is under investigation in multiple countries for money laundering and embezzlement.
Sony today forecast annual profit that fell short of estimates. The company predicts net income will decline 46% to $732 million compared to a projected $1.7 billion. Sony was hurt by costs to repair an earthquake-damaged chip factory and slowing demand for smartphone image sensors. S&P E-mini futures currently up 4 points. That is a 0.25%. Treasury prices are unchanged at this hour. The yield on the 10-year at 1.83%. West Texas Intermediate crude is down 0.4% to $47.89 a barrel. And you're listening to Bloomberg, The First Word on Bloomberg Radio. That brings us to 5:07 on Wall Street. This hour of The First Word is brought to you by Palisades Audi. Visit PalisadesAudi.com. President Obama continues his visit to Vietnam. Let's bring in Michael Barr with the latest now. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Bob. President Barack Obama says he's not singling out Vietnam when he talks about human rights, but he says nations are more successful when universal rights are upheld. President Obama, addressing the Vietnamese people during his three-day visit to the country, also praised the new partnership between the U.S. and Vietnam as an example of post-war reconciliation.
At a time when many conflicts seem intractable, seem as if they will never end, we have shown that hearts can change and that a different future is possible when we refuse to be prisoners of the past.
Yesterday, the president lifted a decades-old U.S. ban on arms sales to Vietnam. After his Vietnam visit, the president will later visit Japan. Hillary Clinton has declined to debate Democratic rival Bernie Sanders ahead of the June 7th primary in California. Sanders says, I hope Secretary Clinton reconsiders her unfortunate decision to back away from her commitment to debate. Sanders, at a rally in Santa Monica, California, said voters can't trust Clinton.
The American people have serious doubts about somebody who takes millions from Wall Street and then says she will stand up to Wall Street.
Meanwhile, Clinton was in Detroit yesterday. She spoke to supporters at the Service Employees International Union Convention.
We are coming to the end of the Democratic primaries. I applaud Senator Sanders and his supporters for challenging us. We are going to get unaccountable money out of politics. We are going to take on the crisis of income inequality.
Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump has stepped up his attacks on former President Bill Clinton. Trump released an Instagram message attacking Bill Clinton's character. A head of security operations at the Transportation Security Administration has been replaced. That's according to the House Committee on Oversight and Government Reform. Kelly Hogan's ouster comes amid major problems with the TSA, including huge security lines at airports this summer, causing people to miss their flights. Global news 24 hours a day, powered by our 2,400 journalists in more than 150 news bureaus around the world. I'm Michael Barr. Bob?
Michael, thanks very much. Now 5:09 on Wall Street. Time for your Land Rover Parsippany Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Good morning to you, John Stashower.
All right, good morning, Bob. The Mets have been a little streaky this season. Had the poor start, then an 8-game win streak. When they lost twice at home to Washington last week by a combined 16-2, they had dropped 6 of 7, had fallen to third place. But since then, 4 straight victories last night in D.C. 7-1, they hit 3 home runs, including a 3-run shot by David Wright.
Yes, we hit 3 home runs, but I thought that our at-bats and our that kind of next man up mantra where you let the next guy do the damage, don't try to do too much, just find a way to get on base, and I thought that was much better today.
Yoenis Cespedes and Neil Walker went back-to-back. Bartolo Colon, 7 strong innings, and the Mets with another win tonight will be back in first place. Yankees have gone from last place up to third. They host Toronto tonight. Alex Rodriguez comes off the disabled list. A surprise in the NBA playoffs, even though Toronto had only one fewer regular season victory. Most felt Cleveland would cruise past the Raptors, and the Cavs won the first 2 games easily. But Toronto won again last night, 105-99. DeMar DeRozan, 32 points, helped by his backcourt mate Kyle Lowry, scoring 35.
It's a cakewalk for me. Once he get going, it opens up everything for me on the floor, Teams try to focus in on him, and when they get me going, he got the ball. He our point guard, he our leader of this team, and he know how to orchestrate what needs to be done out there.
Series is 2-2, going back to Cleveland. West Finals 2-1 Oklahoma City. Golden State will have Draymond Green tonight. No suspension for his kick to Steven Adams in Game 3. Hockey, San Jose won 6-3 at St. Louis for a 3-2 series lead. The Sharks are 1 win from a first ever trip to the Stanley Cup Final. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower.
John, thanks very much. The New York Times is reporting that the family of Baseball Hall of Famer Tony Gwynn, who died of salivary gland cancer in 2014, has filed a wrongful death lawsuit against the tobacco industry, charging that Gwynn was manipulated into an addiction to smokeless tobacco that ultimately killed him. S&P E-mini futures up 5 points right now, 0.25%. You're listening to Bloomberg, the first word, and this is Bloomberg Radio. And the sports report was brought to you by Land Rover Parsippany. The spring sales event is happening now. Visit LandRoverParsippany.com. Land Rover, above and beyond.
The Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And good morning, I'm John Tucker. This Bloomberg Business Flash being brought to you by Carbonite. You never know when disaster will strike your business, from spilled coffee to malware attacks. Protect your digital files with secure automatic cloud backup from Carbonite. Visit Carbonite.com today to get 2 free months with the offer code BROADCAST. The futures in the U.S., they are higher right now. A drop in the euro has helped to boost European stocks. Investors still assessing the implications of a possible Federal Reserve interest rate increase as early as the June meeting. Federal Reserve Bank of Philadelphia President Patrick Harker said late yesterday he could see 2 to 3 rate hikes this year, and that if the U.S. economy shows sufficient strength, a June increase would be appropriate. Well, San Francisco Fed President John Williams earlier said 2 to 3 hikes this year are, in his words, about right. S&P futures right now 4 points higher. That's up 0.2%. The Dow futures up 40. The Nasdaq futures 10 points higher. In German trading, the DAX is up 0.7%. CAC in Paris up 1.1%. The FTSE in London is up 0.5%. The euro at 111.85. NYMEX crude at down 19 cents a barrel at 47.89. We update the markets for you every 15 minutes right here on Bloomberg Radio. I'm John Tucker. Michael Barr has the latest from around the world.
John, thank you very much. President Barack Obama says upholding human rights is not a threat to government. In a speech in Hanoi today, he pressed Vietnam to allow greater freedoms for its citizens, calling it the foundation of progress. President Obama also traced the transformation of the U.S.-Vietnamese relationship from wartime enemies to cooperation. South Korea says more restaurant workers from North Korea have escaped their state-run workplaces overseas and are headed to Seoul. The announcement comes from Seoul's Unification Ministry. In sports, in Major League Baseball, the Mets beat the Nationals 7-1. The A's and the Giants were also winners. More on these and other stories at the bottom of the hour. Bob?
Michael Barr, thank you very much. Look what the Fed speak is doing to the dollar and other global currencies. That's what we're going to do now with the assistance of Tamos Fiatakis, co-head of FX and rate strategy for UBS on the line from London. Good morning and welcome, sir. So as we've mentioned,
good morning. Good to be here.
Markets have yet to fully sign on to the hawkish rhetoric from Fed officials. What does that do to the dollar?
Well, to begin with, the first-order effect is that as the market prices earlier hikes, the dollar starts strengthening, particularly against the more vulnerable currencies in emerging markets. But one has to wonder and try to investigate slash research whether this move is sustainable. The lessons from the past hike in December was that in anticipation of that, the dollar rallied so much that it caused an unwarranted financial conditions tightening. And this is exactly the reason, the scare that the markets are reflecting in not being willing to price too much too soon. The worry that the Fed may actually tighten a little bit too far, a little bit too soon, via the path of tighter financial conditions.
Yeah, you stir in the ECB with that and the Brexit debate with that, and you've got quite a stew going on.
Yeah, I mean, there are a number of risks, obviously, and there always are. But I think that one of the most important lessons that we've learned from the first hike of the Fed has been that the market can amplify it like in no other cycle. In the previous cycle, for instance, between 2004 and 2005, the Fed would raise rates, but the dollar would weaken, interest rates would come lower, and global equity markets would go higher. So the markets would actually ease while the Fed was tightening. Here, in 2015 and early 2016, we have the exact opposite. The Fed is raising rates by just a little bit, but the dollar and, very, very importantly, credit markets and oil deliver a level of tightening to the economy that is a lot bigger. In our estimates, almost as much as 140 basis points of an equivalent tightening via financial markets. And bear in mind, all this within a cycle that may be a lot shorter than others. In our estimate, the Fed has only to raise rates by another 250 basis points, and then they're probably going to be done.
So why do you think that the markets are reacting in a this time it's a different kind of way?
A number of reasons. First of all, obviously, you have a much weaker global economy, which means that the dollar rallies a lot more than in past cycles, right? So if the market expects very rapid tightening from the Fed, you would think that emerging market currencies, for instance, depreciate a lot more given the softness in the economic fundamentals there. And the other big important link has been the link between dollar and oil. In many ways, the dollar rally of late 2015 has exacerbated the move in oil, which, you know, was fundamentally driven by supply factors, but it exacerbated that move. And then low oil prices fed through to a level of wider credit spreads in the U.S. that you typically see in much later stages of the cycle. The tightening that credit markets delivered because of oil prices going lower, hurting oil credit in the United States, has been very, very significant. So the fact that the rest of the world is weak and the fact that strong dollar brings oil prices lower and that amplifies pressures in U.S. credit markets via oil credit, I think has been the two major points of why this is a different, it has been so far a different experience than past cycles.
If the Fed does indeed raise rates as early as June, what happens then?
First of all, let me just say that our forecasts are that, the market and economic conditions will be a lot more mature later in the summer, and we expect our economics department expects a hike in September and a hike in December. But the market is not pricing even that. If the Fed hikes as early as June, which so far the market ascribes less than 50% chance to, I think the key question will be how do you interpret growth data after that, and how do you price the tightening after that? So it's not just about the June hike, but what markets read into that. If the markets read into that, that the Fed is hawkish come what may, then the most likely outcome is that you see, even potentially to a smaller scale, but to some degree, a level of pressure in equities, a level of tightening in, or widening, I'm sorry, in credit spreads, and basically a flattening of the curve, with the curve pricing that more hikes now mean that the Fed has less room later.
Thamos Fiatakis is co-head of FX and Rate Strategy for UBS. Appreciate your insights this morning. Let's take a forward look at the markets now. S&P E-mini futures now up by 5 points, 0.25%. Dow E-minis higher by 42 points. NASDAQ E-mini futures up by 11 points. Treasury prices are unchanged at this hour. The yield on the 10-year at 1.83%. You're listening to Bloomberg, the first word on Bloomberg Radio. And the first word is brought to you by the accountants and advisors at Eisner Amper. Cybersecurity is on the mind of every business leader. Managing cyber risk should be too. Get started with a cyber risk assessment. Learn more, EisnerAmper.com/cyber risk.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1200. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Radio Plus app at Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg the First Word.
Good morning, 5:30 on Wall Street. I'm John Tucker.
I'm Bob Moon. Bloomberg, the first word is brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit sectorspdrs.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading, and let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Singapore is ordering Swiss financial services firm BSI to shut its unit in the city-state as Swiss authorities begin criminal proceedings against the bank. This is the biggest fallout yet from probes related to troubled Malaysian state fund 1MDB, which is under investigation in multiple countries for money laundering and embezzlement.
Sony today forecast annual profit that fell short of estimates. The company predicts net income will decline 46% to $732 million compared to a projected $1.7 billion. Sony was hurt by costs to repair an earthquake-damaged chip factory and slowing demand for smartphone image sensors.
And Deutsche Bank's credit rating has been cut by Moody's Investors Service. Moody's says the German lender faces mounting challenges in carrying out its turnaround.
At 10 a.m. Wall Street time, the Commerce Department reports on sales of new single-family homes. Economists say sales probably rose 2.2% in April to 522,000 at an annual rate. Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice has the story from the First Word desk.
It's been a seesaw. The government's prior report showed new home sales dropped in March for the third month in a row, falling 1.5% to 511,000 at an annual rate. Sales in the West were the weakest since 2014. Industry data last week showed sales of previously owned homes rose in April to a three-month high, pointing to more steady growth in the months ahead. At the Bloomberg First Word desk, I'm Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Radio.
And Tudor Investment, one of the oldest and most expensive hedge funds, is trimming fees as the finance industry's highest-paid money managers face a growing backlash over their lackluster performance. The $11.6 billion firm will reduce fees for a share class that contains most of its biggest funds' money to 2.2% of assets and 25% of profits. That's starting July 1st.
And let's bring you up to date on the markets now. We check the markets for you every 15 minutes on Bloomberg Radio. S&P E-mini futures higher by 6 points, 0.3%. Dow E-minis up 48 points. NASDAQ E-mini futures higher by 13 points. In Europe, London's FTSE up 0.2%. The CAC in Paris is up 1.3%. And the DAX in Frankfurt is higher by 0.8%. Treasury prices are unchanged at this hour. The yield on the 10-year at 1.83%. You're listening to Bloomberg, the First Word. This is Bloomberg Radio. That brings us to 5:33 on Wall Street this hour. The First Word is brought to you by BMW Mount Kisco. Visit BMWMountKisco.com. Let's bring in Michael Barr now for the very latest at home and around the world. Good morning to you, Michael.
Good morning, Bob. President Obama is making a push for human rights during his visit to Vietnam.
Why I believe nations are more successful when universal rights are upheld.
In an address in Hanoi today, the president said the country has nothing to fear from upholding freedom of speech, a free press, and to associate and demonstrate, which he says already written into the country's constitution. Hillary Clinton has declined to debate Democratic rival Bernie Sanders ahead of the June 7th primary in California. Sanders responded at a rally in Santa Monica.
She is not prepared to have a discussion with me about how she will help the Californians address the major crises that we face.
Meanwhile, Clinton in Detroit yesterday took a swipe at Donald Trump while talking at the Service Employees International Union Convention.
A lot of Republicans themselves say Donald Trump is a disaster waiting to happen to America.
Donald Trump has escalated his attacks on former President Bill Clinton. The presumptive Republican presidential nominee took to Instagram with his latest shot at President Clinton's character. It comes as Washington State holds its Republican presidential primary today. The head of security operations at the Transportation Security Administration has been replaced. That is the word from the House Committee on Oversight and Government Reform. Kelly Hogan's ouster comes amid major problems with the TSA, including long security lines at airports. The Homeland Security Inspector General previously revealed that agency employees failed to find dangerous items in more than 95% of COVID tests at multiple U.S. airports. Meanwhile, a group of New Jersey lawmakers announced a plan to ease delays at security checkpoints at Newark Airport. Democratic Senator Bob Menendez.
Security and the safety of the flying public is our number one objective, but people are sick and tired of waiting.
The plan includes more than 70 additional TSA officers and more canine units. Global news 24 hours a day, powered by our 2,400 journalists and more than 150 news bureaus around the world. I'm Michael Barr. Bob?
Much obliged, sir. That brings us to 5:35 on Wall Street. Time now for your Land Rover Parsippany Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. And good morning to you, John Stashower.
Good morning, Bob. Solid pitching. Three home runs led to an easy win for the Mets. 7-1 at Washington. David Wright, a three-run shot in a five-run third inning. Yoenis Cespedes and Neil Walker went back-to-back in the fifth. A major league leading 15th of the year for Cespedes, 11th for Walker. Bartolo Colon, seven strong innings, just as Terry Collins expected.
I don't remember seeing Bartolo have two bad starts in a row, which he had. That is so anti-him, it's amazing.
See what happens tonight. Matt Harvey, 3-6 with a 5.77 ERA. Last week against the Nationals, he was knocked out in the third inning, having allowed nine runs. Harvey opposes Steven Strasburg, who's 7-0. The winner tonight will be in first place. NBA playoffs, Toronto beat Cleveland 105-99 as the Raptors' backcourt of Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan combined for 67 points. Raptors shot 54% as a team. LeBron James felt the Cavs lost it in the first half.
We're not starting off games the right way. The second quarter has been really bad for us here, so we got to do a better job of that, where we can't dig ourselves such a big hole, and now, you know, every possession feels even more intensified, you know, late in the game.
LeBron, 29 points. Kyrie Irving had 26, but not much help. Kevin Love and J.R. Smith shot a collective 7 of 26, and the East Finals are now tied at 2. Tonight is game 4 in the West. Draymond Green's kick to Steven Adams resulted in a fine, but no suspension. Oklahoma City's up 2-1, but Golden State has not lost two in a row all year. NHL's West Finals, San Jose at St. Louis tied going to the third period. Joe Pavelski scored 16 seconds in. The Sharks added two in the final minute. They won 6-3, so they go home up 3-2 in the series. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower.
Appreciate it, John. Google says Southeast Asia's internet economy, from online shopping to games and advertising, will surge sixfold to about $200 billion in the next decade. Research from the company, along with Temasek Holdings, predicts e-commerce in the region could jump to $88 billion by 2025, a 16-fold increase. Here in the U.S., Best Buy is among the few marquee name companies that are scheduled to post quarterly results today. Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger says the retailer has found a bright spot.
Best Buy has been struggling to revive revenue growth, but Bloomberg Intelligence says one type of merchandise is booming. Appliances have become the company's strongest category. Same-store sales of stoves, washers, and refrigerators jumped 12% in the fourth quarter, while the overall company posted a 1.7% decline. Best Buy is dedicating more store space to appliances to take advantage of the rebounding housing market. Analysts think Best Buy will report a first quarter profit of 35 cents a share on revenue of just under $8.3 billion. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Radio.
Jeff, thanks. That brings us to 5:38 on Wall Street. Time now for your T2 Computing Tri-State Business Report and our Tuesday check-in with Bloomberg's Ed Corey. Good morning to you.
Hi, Bob. New Jersey Governor Chris Christie has rejected state lawmakers' latest efforts to reform the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey, the agency that controls the region's airports, bridges, and tunnels. Christie recommended they adopt a bill that New York lawmakers and Governor Andrew Cuomo enacted in 2015. That measure includes whistleblower protections and a rotating chairmanship between the two states. Philip Murphy, the former Goldman Sachs executive running for New Jersey governor in 2017, had income of about $21 million over 5 years. Federal tax returns show his earnings were mostly from investments. The Democrat says he entered the race early to highlight the middle class struggles caused by the state's lackluster economy. Well, Broadway show attendance increased last season for the third year in a row, helped by the soaring popularity of Hamilton. Trade group the Broadway League says more than 13 million people went to performances for the year that ended Sunday. That's the T2 Computing Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Bob?
Thanks, Ed. Iron ore has pivoted from boom to gloom in a few short weeks. Benchmark prices stand barely above $50 a metric ton as spectacular losses this month, driven by rising supplies and a more cautious approach from mills in China, have eviscerated April's speculation-driven rally. Morgan Stanley CEO James Gorman is sounding a positive note about the future of the bank, speaking to Bloomberg Television in Beijing, where the firm has been hosting its China summit. Gorman said, while returns have been modest, he's not troubled by it.
Maybe I was on my own on this, but I felt pretty good about the first quarter because this was a very challenging environment, and we produced a 6% ROE in a good environment. Obviously, there's a lot of upside to that, so stay tuned.
Morgan Stanley CEO James Gorman speaking to Bloomberg Television in Beijing. Earlier this month, Gorman reiterated his goal to boost return on equity to at least 9% by next year. S&P E-mini futures up 6 points right now, a third of a percent. Treasury prices down now. The yield on the 10-year up to 1.83%. This is Bloomberg. And your Tri-State Business Report was brought to you by T2 Computing, a new kind of IT solutions company for workflow, mobility, and infrastructure. Let them explain how their expertise can help you gain greater business value. Visit T2Computing.com.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
Hey, good morning. I'm John Tucker. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash. We have futures in the U.S. They are higher, but off the best levels of the session. S&P futures, they're up 7 right now. The Dow futures up 61, and the Nasdaq futures right now 17 points higher. That's up 0.4%. The euro 111.79, the yen at 109.70, and sterling 145.85. NYMEX crude down 9 cents a barrel at 47.99. And we check the markets for you every 15 minutes during the trading day right here on Bloomberg Radio. Now let's get a check of news from around the world. Here's Michael Barr.
John, thank you very much. An Egyptian forensic official says human remains retrieved from the crash site of Egypt Air Flight 804 point to an explosion on board. The Airbus A320 was flying from Paris to Cairo when it crashed into the Mediterranean Sea last week. 66 people were on board the plane. In sports, Major League Baseball, the Mets beat the Nationals. The A's and the Giants were also winners. More on these and other stories at the top of the hour.
The Brexit vote. Coverage continues now on Bloomberg Radio.
And voters in the UK head to the polls on June 23rd to decide whether or not Britain will remain in the European Union. Joining us now with the latest on that pivotal issue is Bloomberg Go and First Word Europe anchor Jonathan Farrow. Jonathan, good morning. Coming into the stretch here, 1 month to go. Where's the focus today?
Good morning to you, Bob. I would say the momentum very much with the Remain campaign, and we can do that by looking at Brex Go on the Bloomberg terminal, B-R-E-X Go. And basically here at Bloomberg, as you know, Bob, we put together a composite of some of the polls in the UK, and that's spread right now is really starting to widen. So Leave now 7 points behind Remain, looking at the composite of those polls. And for anyone following the money, Ladbrokes, a big betting agency in the United Kingdom, odds falling to a new low for a Brexit to 19%. So the momentum, if you're gauging where the money is going and you gauge the composite of the polls, is very much behind Remain. And the reason for that, Bob, is what many people refer to as Project Fear, the idea that you make the UK public so worried about exiting the EU that they don't vote for it. And yesterday we had a report from the UK Treasury showing that if the UK votes to leave the European Union, projecting four consecutive quarters of negative growth. And that kind of technique, that kind of strategy has really got behind the Remain vote, for now at least.
Yeah. We'll keep watching. Bloomberg's Jonathan Farrow, thanks. And you can get all the latest Brexit news on the Bloomberg Terminal by typing B-R-E-X, go. Now it's time for Bloomberg Gadfly. Gadfly is Bloomberg's global platform for fast commentary and instant analysis about pivotal financial markets and corporate news. We're joined live now by Edward Evans, Bloomberg Gadfly editor in London. And I find it hard to believe, Edward, that the emissions scandal is turning political.
Funny this. What we are seeing is protectionism rearing its head again. Look what Fiat Chrysler just did. Asked to by the German government to come and talk about its vehicle emissions last week, Fiat said no thanks. Something that seems deeply imprudent. If you've got nothing to hide, why play ball? The answer here, straightforwardly, is politics, a strategy European car companies have been playing effectively for a number of years. The issue here is European governments had really turned a blind eye to claims that manufacturers' vehicle emissions were far higher than permitted. Now they've been spurred into some limited inaction, but instead of actual truth and reconciliation, what we're getting is smoke and mirrors. Let's have a look at this. Could it be here with Fiat that the Italian government has no real interest in seeing a large Italian employer hit by fines or damage? Look what happened in France. Renault raided in January. French government, of course, which holds 20% of Renault, don't forget that, swiftly tells us that no fraud there had been discovered. Now, Germany perhaps should be commended. They at least have set up a commission to investigate emissions. Don't hold your breath, though. Don't forget the state of Lower Saxony owns 20% of VW. And really, it took the US Department of Justice, not Berlin, to actually force Daimler to review how it certifies its emissions processes. Also look at one German car maker that hasn't been spared a little rough treatment by Berlin. That's Opel. It's got some issues with its Zafira model. But of course, Opel, big employer in Germany, is the European subsidiary of General Motors. And it's surely not a stretch here to think Berlin wouldn't mind seeing a US car maker get some of them a taste of the medicine that Washington has been dishing out to VW.
And moving along here, Walmart is learning some very hard, painful lessons in the UK, huh?
Yeah, look at what happened with the UK unit here. Seventh consecutive quarterly sales decline from a year earlier. UK, of course, was where it owns Asda, was, of course, once one of the jewels in Walmart's crown. What has changed has been the big move by the Germans, Aldi and Lidl, who have been undercutting the supermarket in the UK. They're beginning to set their sights on the US. Aldi is already undercutting in the US. Lidl is going to open in 2018. So look what happened in the UK and then apply that to the US. And there are some lessons here for Walmart to learn.
Edward Evans, Bloomberg Gadfly editor in London, thanks very much. You can read more fast commentary and instant analysis at Bloomberg.com/Gadfly or by typing G-A-D-F-GO on the Bloomberg. John.
All right. Thanks, Bob. And the Law Brief this morning being brought to you by American Arbitration Association. International trade or business dispute resolved faster with the International Center for Dispute Resolution, the leader in alternative dispute resolution around the world, ICDR.org. And today, Bloomberg Law host June Grasso and Michael Bass discussed a Supreme Court decision in favor of a black death row inmate, which found that Georgia prosecutors unconstitutionally excluded black jurors because of their race. They spoke with Elizabeth Semmel, director of the Death Penalty Clinic at UC Berkeley Law School, and Sherry Diamond, a jury expert and also a law professor at Northwestern University's Pritzker School of Law.
Sherry, what are the facts of this case that comes to the court, you know, 30 years after the crime?
Well, it's taken quite a while because it has made its way through the Georgia courts and not very successfully, and then through a habeas corpus several petitions and back and forth. So it's taken quite a while to get here because there were a number of issues for this case that had nothing to do with this, having to do with the mental state of the defendant as well.
Sherry, as Justice Kagan said, when you listen to those facts, it does seem like a pretty clear violation of the Constitution happened here. Why did it take so long? What was so hard for the courts below?
Well, the courts below deferred to the trial court judge's observations. And what we see in Justice Thomas's dissent, the single dissent, is the same kind of deference, the notion of deferring to the prosecutor and deferring to the trial court judge in judgments of demeanor.
Elizabeth, what happens now? The decision didn't throw out his conviction, but it allowed him to say he wants to re-argue his or have a new trial. What happens?
Well, it did throw out his conviction in this sense. Both his conviction and sentence of death were reversed by the United States Supreme Court. What it doesn't do is walk him out the door, and these decisions never do, or I would, you know, certainly Batson decisions don't. So the state of Georgia will be given an opportunity to retry him within a certain period of time, depending on the law of the state, or potentially release him. I mean, I'm sure that there are lots of conversations going on at this point in the state prosecutor's office about how to proceed.
Is there any doubt that he will get another trial?
I don't think we, you know, no one is in a position, I would assume, other than the state of Georgia to determine or to speculate, much less determine what will happen at this juncture. The court, that is the U.S. Supreme Court, has simply said he is entitled to a new trial.
Well, then, Elizabeth, what will the state of Georgia be determining when it goes back to their courts?
Well, I assume the state of Georgia will take a look at the state of the evidence and what the state of the evidence is available to Georgia to retry Mr. Foster on these capital charges.
That's Elizabeth Semmel, director of the Death Penalty Clinic at UC Berkeley Law School, and Sherry Diamond, a jury expert, law professor at Northwestern University's Pritzker School of Law, speaking with Bloomberg Law host June Grasso and Michael Best. And you can listen to Bloomberg Law weekdays at 4:30 p.m. Wall Street time, right here on Bloomberg Radio.
And now some of the top legal stories from Bloomberg Law. 16 of the world's largest banks, including J.P. Morgan Chase and Citigroup, must face antitrust lawsuits accusing them of hurting investors who bought securities tied to LIBOR by breaking an interest rate benchmark, a ruling that an appeals court warned could devastate them. Let's check the markets for you now. S&P E-mini futures up 6 points. That is 0.3%, and Treasury prices are lower. The yield of the 10-year up to 1.84%.
This is the Bloomberg BNA Report, legal, tax, regulatory, and business information. Here's Patrice Sikora.
The Affordable Care Act would be modified but not repealed under a bill sponsored by two Republican lawmakers. The measure from Senator Bill Cassidy of Louisiana and Representative Pete Sessions of Texas would remove the mandates for employer and individual insurance coverage. A summary of the bill says it would maintain essential consumer protections. The Senate will vote today on a resolution to block a Labor Department rule that tightens conflict of interest restrictions on financial advisors working with retirement savers. Critics say it would drive up the cost of advice. And opportunities in Cuba for small and medium-sized businesses, along with Cuba policy and priorities, will be updated at a White House briefing tomorrow. About 170 participants are expected to hear from companies that have been operating in Cuba.
That's today's Bloomberg BNA Report. For more on these and other stories, visit bna.com.